بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي يحيي ويميت، الحمد لله الذي بيده الخير، لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. Praise be to God who gives life and who gives death, and in his control all things kept. We witness that he is one and has no partner with him in the creation and in the management of the heavens and earth, and that none come to him except as a servant, and that he created men and jinn for his service, to serve him. And we witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran reveals, is his servant and his messenger, and a mercy to all the world. Rahmatan lil alameen, a mercy to all the world. Of him God says in our holy book, the Quran, you find in him an excellent model for any who believe in God and the last day and are doers of good. God has power over all things. And the Quran says that he is al-qadir ala kulli shay. He has power over all things. And he is fa'alun ma yurid. And he is the doer of whatever he wills. For all the creation is kept as it is in his one hand. All the creation. Then he says to the rebel angel, who was really not a true angel, he was a jinn, Iblis, who became the Satan, Shaytan, says to him, what is the matter with you that you do not accept him whom I have made with my two hands, or two controls? Praise be to Allah. Here Allah is giving us a perception, and in that perception is God, as though he's in the image of a human being, having in one hand everything he created, the heavens, all the things that exist, the heavens and the earth. And in the other hand, he has the man that he created. One control for the man he created, the other control for all the other things he created. Can the human being balance all of that that's in the other side? The man, the human life, balance all that is in the other side? Yes, but only as obedient servants of God. The contribution of man to God's creation is what Allah made the creation for. He made the creation to give an opportunity for a creature that he will create to find his way to his maker through the search that he will make in the creation of God. Searching creation, man comes to God. Searching creation, man comes to God. This is the book that came before the Quran, and this is in the Quran, if you understand it. Searching creation, man comes to God. Muhammad the Prophet, he taught us to travel throughout the earth in search of knowledge. Peace be upon him. One of his popular sayings is, go even as far as the far country China in search of knowledge, in search of knowledge. And of knowledge, he also said, do not seek a knowledge for which there is no good use. Do not seek knowledge for which there is no good use. So it's not just knowledge, but knowledge that we can minister by when we apply it in our lives. If it doesn't benefit the human society, then it's the knowledge we should stay away from. This is the teaching of our leader, our guide, Muhammad, the seal of the Prophet. Prayers and the peace be upon him. Beautiful adhan, beautiful voice our brother has. And we know in Islam the call is made by a human being. The sound we hear is the voice of a human being, a man. And we are told in the studies of Islam that the Jews had a bugle. And then after the Jews came the Christians. And the Christians had a bell. They have the bell. And I don't hear it ringing too much lately. And not to criticize. Just wondering. Then the Muslim comes the voice of a human being. The voice of a human being. The voice of a man. Now, the call is called the adhan. It is taken from a verb or from a noun meaning ear. Udhan is ear. Udhani, my ear. Udhani means my ear. So udhan is ear. Adhan is the call that's made to get the ear's attention. That's what it's for. That's how you put your hand like this. See? Call that's made to get your ear's attention. Have you give me your ears, as they say, the saying goes. Countrymen, lend me your ears. This is in literature. And God says, whoever has an ear to hear, let him hear. This is in the Bible. Yes, yes. So the adhan is the call to get man's ear, his attention for God. When you give your ear, it's to take something into your mind. It affects your heart too, into your heart as well. But the main receiver of what you're hearing is your mind. Your mind receives it, and your mind tries to understand it. Or tries to guess whatever the communication is. Adhan, adhan. And the adhan is also a call to life. It's a call to life. And the purpose for religion, Islam, especially Islam, is to give life to the dead. Give life to the dead. And to build up the life after it is awakened to its call, to build that life up. When we hear the word temple, temples come from a word literally meaning nothing but time. Time, temple, time. So temple, we hear about the temple, building the temple. In the Bible, it talks about the temple. In Islam, we don't have that language until Mr. Rajparak came to us, and he gave us that language again, temple. But in Islam, we don't have that language, temple. But we have that idea, of the house called Kaaba, that is the center of our spiritual life and interest for the whole earth, the Kaaba. They don't call it a temple, it's called a house, El Bayt, the house. Also called Kaaba, as I just said, Kaaba. Kaaba and El Bayt. The word Kaaba means connection. Kaaba means connection, things that connect in order to work. Things that connect in order to work. And we read in the Bible, the prophet Ezekiel, he is having a vision of the people as a valley of dead bones, of dead bones. They have lost their lives, and more than that, they have lost even their design. Their picture is gone. Not even the picture of a human being left, just bones separated. And the prophet taught me, he prayed that life should be given to those bones, those dried bones. And the scriptures say that asked the king, and the bones began to come together. The bank bones began to come together and connect properly to reconstruct the life, the human life. And I said that Kava means the bringing together or the making of connection so that something can work properly or correctly. This is similar to what that vision that the prophet had. The message of the prophet of the Bible is in the meaning Gava, connecting the bone where it is supposed to be connected so that you structure the life properly. And Allah says of that house, he says, it is a house, the Awlu Baytin, the most ancient, or the first of the houses, Muniya Linnas, built for all people. Muniya Linnas, built for all people. Buniya means built, Buniya means constructed. So here is the house was built for all people. The house is a sign, a symbol of how you construct life, the human life. It is a method, as a sign, or as a symbol of how God intends that man have his life constructed. And it also gives us a picture of understanding of how God wants our life constructed. When it says, Buniya Linnas, it's built for all people. And then it says it is a house, a Beit. Same name used for my home, Beiti. Beiti, fi Medina, Markham. Some of you know enough Arabic to know exactly what I just said. Beiti, fi Medina, Markham, Illinois. My house, home, is in Markham, Illinois. That's what I just said. So Beiti is a common word, the same word used for the house in the Quran by God. Not a new different word, not an uncommon word, same common word, Beit. And Beit, Awlul Beit, the first or most ancient of the houses. So here is a house that represents the construction and the good construction of human life, the common life that we all share as human beings in one human family. This is a house representing that. And this is a house that God says is full of blessings in the Quran. That this house is full of blessings. Wonderful. Wonderful language. Wonderful, beautiful language God revealed to Muhammad the Prophet. Prayer and peace be upon him. Now, the house is visited by people from all over the world. And they come there not recognizing each other by their tribal names, or their racial names, or their nationality. No. They come there recognizing each other by the name Muslim. That's enough. The name Muslim alone. And Muslim means one who has resigned or has given his life to God to live in peace. Peace with God and peace with his fellow man or with his brother Muslim. And anyone who will accept to live with him in peace. This is the Muslim. Yes. So it is seen as a sign of the oneness of the human family, that we are one human family. And it is seen also as a sign of our unity. God promises us that as long as we orientate ourselves toward that house, respecting that house as our center, that wherever we be scattered on this earth, away from each other, if we will just remember that house and turn toward that house, he said he will bring us all together. He will bring us all together. So it is a sign also of our unity and of how we can have our unity again if we lose it. The Muslim world struggling for unity and their unity is lost. There's no condition worse on the Muslim Ummah, or the international community of Muslims on this planet worse, no condition worse than our disunity. No condition worse than that. We have no unity, our unity is gone. Now what else is gone that we may look at and find a reason, an explanation for the unity being lost? Gone in an equal degree is our recognition of the value of the common person in the eyes or in the presence of God, and how valuable that recognition of our membership being based upon respect for the common life that God created, how valuable that is for our mission, for our purpose on this earth, and our unity as Muslims. Gone, lost. In Muslim lands, the common life, the common person, is treated like an animal in most of the Muslim lands. Common person treated like an animal, treated like a self-human. I read in the Bible where it said, destroy this temple and I will restore it in 3 days, I think it said. Destroy this temple. Now restore it in three days. So this is talking about the coming destruction along of knowledge in the society regarding the value of human life in the creation of God. The value of human life in the creation of God is going to be lost. It'll be destroyed by the evildoers, by the greedy leaders and greedy world of oppressors. It's going to be lost. But the saying of God coming out of the mouth of his servant, speaking as God, speaking the words of God. In the first person he speaks, he says, and I will restore it. And I will restore it. Not that vessel from which the words were coming, but the God speaking in that vessel said, I will restore it. So it's all about giving life to the dead so that the human being that God intended to have this great experience and great challenge in his life that will lead him or eventually take him to his Lord, take him to his God. That he will see his God as though seeing his face, God's face, as though seeing his face. That's what he will have if he will engage the world with his heart, with his intelligence, with his feeling, sensitivity, etc., as God wants him to. Then that engagement, or that indulgence, will eventually bring him to see his God, to see his God. Praise be to Allah. And Allah says of his face, he says, there are coming times when the heavens, all that we see in the sky, will be done away with. So it will be done away with as though it was a scroll, and somebody just took it and rolled it up, made a little scroll out of it. The sky. And both scriptures talk of the times when the heavens and the earth, as we know it, shall pass away. And God will bring in a new creation. The Bible says a new heaven and an earth. And between the time of the leaving of it, or the loss of it, and the recreation, or the coming back of it, there will be nothing existing illa wajhullah, except the face of God. Except the face of God. Now, faith. God says, turn your faces. If you just turn your faces toward this house. So what does God say, turn our faces? What does he mean, turn our faces from that house? When God says, nothing will be left when the creation is done away with, except his face. What do he mean by his face? A face is what gives you a picture, or a sign, at least, of the intent in the person. You look at the face of a person, you can see that the intent is bad. Or you see that the intent is innocent. You can trust that faith. The intent is also the purpose. The purpose. So there will come a time when nothing will stand up. Nothing will stand up except God's will, except God's intent, except God's purpose. Purpose not agreeing in God's purposes, or God's purpose, purposes not agreeing in God's purpose will all be done away with. And I think we're living in that time now when the heavens are being rolled up like a scroll. And a new heaven and a new earth is coming into existence. Yes, the work hasn't changed. The purpose hasn't changed. It is still to give life to the dead. To give life to the dead. When a child is born from its mother, it's alive in its flesh. You feel it, it's warm, but it's not yet conscious. The doctor or the nurse that brings the baby, takes the baby into her or his hand from the new mother, may have to hit it to shock it. And when it's shocked or hit, it takes in air. And only after taking in air, a whiff taking in air, can it become a living human being. Only when taking in air can it become a living human being. Now, has man created something so marvelous? No. The philosopher said of the birth that we call just common, we take it for granted. He said, there's no miracle like the birth of life. I'm sure he thought about what he was saying. Thought very deeply and very seriously about what he was saying. But here is a body existing, and it's alive. But it has no consciousness. It's not alive as a conscious human being. Or think until air is taken into the lungs. Now it's conscious. Life turned on by nothing but air. And God says that when I have breathed into him of my breath, then you make obeisance to him. Yes. And we know that we can't think until there's consciousness. There's no growth, intelligent growth for the mind until there's consciousness. Then we can begin to take in things. And begin to know things, remember things, learn things, and develop our mind, and eventually learn how to speak with our tongue what we brought into our mind. Yes, wonderful creation, the creation of the human being, human life. Then we know that even though the body has taken in the breath of life, it's conscious. It can go to sleep. It goes to sleep and it's still alive. It's not dead. The body is warm. But you talk to it, no response. It sleeps. Let it sleep like death. Sleep like death. For the mind, sleep is a death. And your dreams, like traveling, I guess, in your soul. Your dreams. Yes, now, when you go to sleep, you even lose control of the body. Not just your mind, but your body also. Man be standing on his feet, go to sleep. His head drops. If he ain't careful, his whole body will fall. Going to sleep on his feet. Man get knocked out in the boxing ring. He's out. When he comes to, the body is awake, but the referee wants to know, is the mind awake and alert too? So if he doesn't look quite right to the referee might say, how many things do you see? If he asks us correctly, depending on how he looks, referee might ask him another question. Where you live, or what's your name or something, you know? But eventually he feels comfortable that this person is in control of his mind or conscience. Now he's ready to go back into the context. Yes. Think about these things. God has structured something and stood alive, erect. Erect. Like men build buildings to stand erect. But they have materials in them holding them erect. Here's a man. He has connections for his body, ankles, knees, hips, etc. He has connections. And these connections are really like shrivels, most of them. You stand anything else up like that on shrivels, it falls down. You can't keep it up. But here's a man with a body on shrivels, not on balls. Ankle bones are balls, got a ball. Standing on all these balls, even his head is on a shrivel. That's why it drops like that when you go to sleep, you're not. And without any conscious effort, he's standing there erect. Without conscious effort, the structure is holding itself. He's not saying, I have to keep myself up. I have to make sure I don't fall. No, it's a natural thing for him. He's standing and everything is holding in place. The structure held together. Don't you know that's a miracle? That's a miracle. That God has created a spiritual thing. And it's held up on these shrivels, on these balls, with no conscious effort. God made it to stand up like this. When you awake, you want it to stand up, then the will is in you. The body obeys you. As long as you have a will to stand up, that body wants to keep standing. Even if you go to sleep, the body, all the body knows is that you want to stand. So the body's still holding you up and your head be off. Huh? Yeah. Ain't no boss in the body anymore. He's going to sleep too. But the body still says, oh, I have to hold boss up here. I have to hold up. Keep his body up. Huh? Until you get too far gone, the body lets you go all the same time and let him go. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? It's the same for the so-called living. Same for the so-called living. Yes. So don't overlook these things that seem to be small, nothing. But these things have great signs. Allah says that there are signs in the heavens above you, signs in the earth beneath you, and as well there are signs in your own selves. This is what Allah says. Said, but most go on ignorant or heedless of the signs, paying no attention to the signs. And we get a call to prayer, Adhan, give the Mu'adhin your ears. That's what the Mu'adhin is saying. Give me your ears. Pay attention, because something is being said of great value. God is calling you to life. And God says he calls us to a good life. He intends for us a good life, and not only a good life, but also good establishment. So we go now from the establishment of the human life in the life that God created him for, to his own act on earth, or his own work on earth, as a creator himself. God has given him a mind to create things. So now he has to be about his Father's work. That's the Bible. That's what Christ Jesus says in the Bible, peace be upon him. I have to be about my Father's business. And God wants him to be a producer and produce what God has created him to produce, to advance human life and fulfill human purpose on this earth. Adam, the first man, whatever he was created for, all men are created for that. And Allah created him of the earth, the ground, and then put into him his own inspiration of something of his own spirit he put into the man, and made the man, caused the man to be a living soul. And he created him not as he created a rabbit, or a turtle dove, these wonderful little innocent creatures that do hardly no harm to anything. That's beautiful, but he created man with much more than that beauty. Much more than that beauty. He created him with a mind to become a creator himself. And anytime one people let another people think for their life and their future and become the creators of their life and their future, those people have really become almost worthless in the plan of God. It's for nothing but to be used or exploited or used by others. That's no good. Slavery released us, freed us to be on our own. But we did not have knowledge. Slavery took that away from us. Enslaving us took that away from us. The world that we became conscious in, the world of white supremacy, took that away from us. Yes, took that away from us and didn't allow us to get hardly any help to get back on the road to find that great life for ourselves again. We would have to struggle for it ourselves. Now, is Muhammad the prophet, his life a sign as the life of Jesus Christ is a sign? And Adam, the creation of Adam is the sign, the same sign, all representing the same sign. Muhammad the prophet, here he is, born in the land of idolaters, idol worshippers, and people behaving as beasts, savages. Not all of them, but both of them. A land not united, but of tribes warring against each other as gangster tribes. And nevertheless, a human being is born among them without even a mother to see him grow up to be a teenager. And a father not seeing him at all. He couldn't recall his father. Too young when his father passed away. But he managed to keep the excellence of his creation that God gave Adam, and he lost it to the deceiver, the Satan. And then he gave Jesus Christ. Muhammad, peace be upon the service of God, he kept that life. He came into it and he kept it. He was as a boy when Allah called him, like David. He was 40 years old. And that time in Arabia, that's old. But they didn't live much. The average nice man wasn't hardly much more than that. About that. He was 40 years old when God called him. When God called him, he didn't call him to say, Muhammad, come from a life of sin. Muhammad was not sinning. And never got revelation and never was taught religion. All he had was human nature. Lifting him up, evolving him into that mature life that God created him for. Isn't that something? Isn't that a great sign? Yes, it's a great sign. That no matter what the world does, Satan helping the world, or leading it, they cannot destroy human life. They can destroy most of the human life, but God will always keep, as the Bible says, a remnant. There will always be a few keeping their life that God created them for. And Muhammad was one of in that great few in the history of people. He was one in that great few. And God says of him, he has already lived among you a lifetime. And this is the one you called, before I called him, to serve me. You, Arab, you called him, the truthful one, as God did. I didn't teach him how to be truthful. I gave him the nature to be truthful. And he kept it. You call him El-Amin, the honest one, the trustworthy one. I didn't tell you Jesus, his name was El-Amin. That's what you were calling him before I called him. His nature has evolved him, stood him up in those great principles.
You see the great tribute that's being made here to the common human life? Sign in Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. Sign in Muhammad. After the first creation, Adam, our father, who was deceived by Satan, I have to keep saying that, to come out of the life that God intended for him. And God said that he deceived your father, your mother, to come out of the life that they had been given or created in. And he said, he called it clothing. He said, and those clothes, their clothes are the clothes of righteousness. The clothes of righteousness. But the soul remains in agreement with righteousness. And the mind does not conflict with the soul in that particular commitment. Then the human being keeps the life in its excellence that God created him for. This is a sign, a mighty sign, a mighty sign. Praise be to Allah. There are many signs I can give you in this life you're living right now. But I want, I'll keep going because I've already carried this a little longer than I had planned to. So brothers and sisters, our first responsibility to our Creator is to keep our life as he intended it to be. When we lose knowledge of how he intended it to be, there is revelation. God will reveal to his servants, and we can find what he has revealed, and we can study it and come to see again and know the life that God intends for us. Our book, the Quran, preserves for us for all time the life that Allah, our Creator, intends for us. Yes. And the model of how we have to live that life is Muhammad, who received the revelation from God upon his heart, as the God says, and revealed it upon his heart. But after accepting responsibility to keep our own life erect, standing as God wants us to stand, and he says, "Kunu qawwamuna bil qisti," be a people standing firmly for justice. And in another place he says, though it be against your own self, or against the rich or poor. So we got the guidance we need to be successful. But we have to be in touch with that guidance. We have to give attention to that guidance. And we have to have leaders conscious of that guidance to the extent they want to follow the model of Muhammad's uswa. And encourage you and invite you to come into that model human person. Because Allah made that model for all people, not just one man. The model he made for Christ Jesus is the model for all people. That's why Jesus said, "I and you, you and me." After saying he and the Father. The Father and him. And Muhammad says, God says to Muhammad, to say to him, "I am a model person like you. And a basharum mithlukum. I'm a mortal human being like you." Meaning, though my uswa is high and great and perfect, is an example for all people if they will accept it, I'm still a common person, just like you. Meaning that God created you for the same uswa. God created all of us for the same uswa. And God says, whoever spends on his soul, he will get the gain, he will get the benefit for that. And whoever neglects his soul, he will bring his life down to the lowest of the low. Spend on your soul. When you're reading the Quran and studying the religion as revealed to Muhammad the Prophet and the seal of the Prophet, last of the Prophet, you are spending on your own soul. When you study the model life of Muhammad the Prophet so that you can appreciate him more and more as a common human person like yourself, that God made leader because he was standing in the depths of his creation before God called him, then you are spending on your own soul. When you read the directions in the Quran and the directions in Muhammad's teachings for you to establish your life in society, read of your responsibility to develop the land, to have beautiful establishments, as God says, beautiful establishments, you are spending on your own soul. For the life within is the first life that has to come awake. And when it is asleep consciously or asleep to learning, it is as though dead. Because the human intelligence is what makes you human. If your conscious mind is gone, you're virtually dead. So a man laying up in the hospital and he can't think for himself, he has lost his consciousness, control of his own mind. They say he is as a vegetable. He is as a vegetable. Meaning the human being is gone. The human is gone. So don't think just because you're looking at people walking around in human form that they are living. Most of them walking around in human form are dead. And Islam is a call to life. And don't think you put down calling our people to life and calling the dead to life just because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is gone. You have to still call the dead to life. Go and bring the dead in, and let's bring the dead to life. Let's construct the builder again so he can go out and create and build a wonderful neighborhood and restore our neighborhood. Because God says another sign of the resurrection is a town and its roots have started to cave in. And its work is done on it to bring it back to life. So we thank God for understanding. We thank God for creating us a thinking being, a man. And we thank God for giving us a model of the excellent life that he created us for in Muhammad, the seal of the prophets of mercy to all the world. Rabbana, atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. Amin. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد. We salute Muhammad the last prophet with the traditional salutation صلى الله عليه وسلم, prayers and the peace be upon him, وبعد, and what follows of that salutation. Muslims are a brotherhood. Ikhwah, Muslims are a brotherhood. That's another way of saying Muslims are family. That's what it means. Muslims are brotherhood means Muslims are family. Christians are family. The Jews are family. And we all exist in one big family, the family of mankind, the family of human beings. And God wants us to know that it is his will that we differ with one another. It is his will that we have different communities. Are people of one persuasion having their community? People of another persuasion having a different community. And God says if he had willed or wanted you to be one community, he would have made you so. He would have made you so. Then God says of those communities that he approved of, that he sent prophets to, that have faith in him, and fear him and call on him when they have nothing else to depend on, or nothing else to hold them up or guide them. They call on that same God, Muslims, Christians, Jews, and some others, by other names. He said, vie with one another, compete with one another, in an effort to have all that is good. That's what God said. Go as in a race, after all that is good. Dear brothers and sisters, let us not be outside of the beautiful human life that God created us for. Let's be in that life. And if we're in that life, then if we see a Christian achieving good for people of Newark, or people of Brooklyn, or people of the United States or of America, or for the world for that matter, if we see a non-Muslim achieving good and fearing God, believing in God, and wanting obedience and righteousness, let us cheer them on, though they passed us in the race. Cheer them on, and let us be hoping that they reach the goal, that they reach the goal of righteous achievement for the benefit of humanity, to make life better for all of us on this earth. And if we will let that come into our heart, we're going to find that we run down the road and pass some Christian or Jew or somebody, you're going to find them. Go on, brother Muslim. They'll be cheering us on. So thank you. Let us work hard to respect responsibility that God has put into our hands for our own souls and also for the environment that He created for us, for our neighborhoods. Thank you very much, and may Allah guide us always to the straight path or in the straight path, and save us from the sins or the punishment of the fire or the punishment of the fires of sin. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. آمين. That is, our Lord, do not let our hearts go back to wrong after you have guided us, and save us from the fires of sin. Amen. Allahu Akbar.